Okay, would you bow with me here? Heavenly Father, we again come to your word to seek out what it is that you would have us to know about you, to know about ourselves, to know about this world in which you have placed us. Father, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, help me to forget my sermon and to preach yours. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so last time I preached for you who were here, I had said, I had come and asked, what do you really want? And this time I come and I ask you, what in the world are you doing? What are you doing here? What are you doing in general? What's the point of what you're doing in your family, in your work? When we gather here together on Sunday mornings, what are you doing? And so as we go through this passage and as we go through this sermon today, I'd like you to be meditating on that, and then we'll get to it here as we get to the end. So today's sermon comes from the 13th chapter of Matthew. It's just one verse, verse 33. So Matthew 13, 33. Matthew splits up the life of Jesus across five different major discourses of Jesus and then tells narratives to connect those five different discourses. And the verse that we're covering today is in the third of those discourses. So it's like right in the middle of the discourses of Jesus. And then, in fact, the specific verse we're covering today is kind of in the middle of that discourse. So it's kind of in the middle of the middle of the middle of the middle. And it's one of those verses that you get to in Scripture that has such density that if you were to really dig into it and you were really pull out all the understanding there is from this single verse, ultimately you would just lay out all of Scripture, right? Ultimately you would pull out all that the Bible teaches about everything. We don't quite have time for that this morning. But we will dig into at least a few different points on this single verse. So Matthew 13, 33. He, that's Jesus, told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. So he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like. The first piece of information, the first point that we'll have out of this is the message of Jesus is the kingdom of heaven. Or in other gospels or of the accounts of the gospel, you'll hear it as the kingdom of God. God's kingdom. That is the message of Jesus. Now, when you think about the gospel, when we think about that, oftentimes what comes to our head very well is that I have been saved, that you have been saved, that I am a sinner, you are a sinner, we have rebelled against God, that relationship between ourselves and God is broken. And we have no way of ourselves restoring that relationship with God. So we need someone to redeem us, to restore that relationship. And Jesus comes, and the wages of our sin ultimately is death. What was deserved for our sin, our rebellion against God, is death. Jesus goes to the cross, sacrifices himself, takes on that penalty of death that we deserve, such that we are restored in a relationship with God. And all of that is absolutely true. All of that is absolutely wonderful. And if you have not heard that, I tell you today that that is true and is for you. But the gospel is more than just our individual personal salvation and relationship bringing back together with God. Because the problems, the challenges, the issues, the brokenness is more than just our individual relationship with God. When we sinned against God originally through Adam, yes, that relationship with God was broken, but it was more than just that. What immediately occurred after that was a breaking of relationship between people, between husband and wife, between brother and brother, between strangers. So now we had things called enemies. Now we had murder and hatred. Now we had anger. Now we had all the issues that we see around us in society. It was not just the breaking of that relationship with God, but breaking of the relationships with each other. Even more, there was a breaking, a corruption of the very world in which we live. Romans 8. For the creation waits for eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. The sin of man, the rebellion of humanity against God, affected the whole cosmos, the whole world, everything. So Jesus' message is the message of the kingdom of God, which is more than just the relationship between yourself and God. When you think about the gospel, I want you to think about the gospel according to Jesus. Matthew 4. So Jesus has been baptized. He's been taken out into the wilderness. He's been tempted by Satan. And then he gets sent into his ministry, into the rest of the world. It says, from that time, Jesus began preaching, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 17, and then a few verses later, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel. But it doesn't stop there. Proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. The gospel of the kingdom. Yes, the redemption of ourselves and our relationship with God, but that's the core crux that spreads out to everything else. Our sin against God caused corruption all over the place. So the restoration of everything, the restoration of the whole cosmos must start with the reconciliation of man to God. But it extends out beyond that, such that when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about this renewal, this restoring of everything. The restoring of the plants and the trees, the restoring of work and relationships between people, the restoring of all things. The message of Jesus is the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. Now, in this parable, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like, and then he goes on to describe what the kingdom of heaven is like. Leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour. The kingdom of God is radically different in its establishment and in its expansion than the kingdoms of the world. If you want to know what the establishment and expansion of the kingdoms of the world. And when I say the kingdoms of the world, I don't mean of the physical world. The physical world is good. The kingdoms of the world, I mean the kingdoms of people. If you want to know what that's like, we just have to look over in the Ukraine right now. You have political power. You have military might. That's the establishment and the expansion of the kingdoms of the world. And that indeed was the thought and the concepts of the first century Jews. Almost all of the sects were awaiting this kingdom of God to be established by some kingly, a priestly figure who would come and establish this kingdom by military power, by revolution, to overthrow the Romans. And yet, Jesus presents this parable in the midst of that culture to show how radically different the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. So Sarah makes bread at home with a bread maker. She's embarrassed because I'm talking about her. So we have this bread maker, right? And we have dough. I don't even know how that you mix like flour and eggs and stuff. All right, you put like flour and eggs and things in this bread maker. I think there's eggs. You put stuff in there, and then you put this tiniest little amount of yeast, and you can't even see it in there, and then you turn it on. I mean, nowadays we have electricity. Back in the day, you would need it. You turn it on, and it kneads the bread. And then ours has like a little window, so you can watch it. And you can watch it, and it starts out just kind of down there at the bottom of the pan. And then you'll wait a little while, and you'll go back, and it doesn't look like anything's happened. It just looks like a bunch of dough. And then you go back, and oh, it looks like it's a little bit bigger. Something's starting to happen with it. But after some time, God knows and Sarah knows how long the machine knows. After some times you go back and this dough has changed completely and fully into a loaf of life-giving bread. This tiny amount of yeast that you put in there that you couldn't even see when it was in the dough has expanded out and infiltrated the whole dough and completely changed it. And they didn't really know this at the time, but we know it chemically it changes. It is different than it was before. And Jesus says, this is the establishment and the expansion of God's kingdom. Not political power. It starts very small. Indeed, it starts with a single man, that pure man of Jesus. His life, his breaking into this doughy, messy, corrupt world as that one small yeast. And he lives his life perfectly in this world. And then he dies to redeem the world. And he is raised and ascended as King and Lord over all things. It starts so small with that one man and weak in death. And then it influences from within. The yeast in the bread, right, it kind of goes throughout. It's not some external thing that comes and pounds down the dough, but it grows out throughout within the yeast or within the dough. And so it is with the kingdom of God. The people of God, the church, expands out both in breadth and in depth. So there's new people that come to know who Jesus is, new people that come within the kingdom of God, and in depth, meaning that lives are more and more changed. The world around us is more and more changed. The restoration of the world, we start to see glimpses of it. We start to see relationships changed. We start to see that what we're doing with art and science and engineering and in our work is taking the corruption that came through us into the world and is restoring it back to bring it to a glorious state where God can be glorified by it. There's breadth and there's depth. And it spreads slowly. It's a slow progress. It's not an instantaneous thing. For whatever reason, God has decided to do things through processes, through time. And such it is with the expansion of the kingdom of God. It is weeks and months and years and decades and centuries and millennia of expanding and expanding and expanding. And ultimately, it goes everywhere and impacts everything. Just as that yeast ultimately spread throughout the entire dough and impacted the whole thing, so the kingdom of God continues to expand and will impact everything. It will impact everything. The establishment and expansion of God's kingdom is radically different than the kingdoms of this world. So the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. So look around ourselves within the congregation. Look around in the world. Look around in your family. Look around in your whole life personally. Would you state that it's all been leavened? At this point, no. And yet Jesus has ascended at the right hand of God. So how does this leavening process, this expansion of his kingdom, continue? Jesus continues to expand his kingdom through you and me and the church working to expand his kingdom. So if you go to John 14, verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Whoever believes in Jesus will also do the works that Jesus does. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father. He sends his Spirit, the same Spirit that empowered him to do his work, so that we will do the work of Jesus. In Acts, Luke writes at the very beginning, in the first book, that's the Gospel according to Luke, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. The implication is that Acts is the continuation of what Jesus is doing and teaching. And Jesus ascends, and it's his apostles going out from Jerusalem, extending the kingdom of God through the world. And so it is with us as well. I have a concern that within the Christian church broadly, that we aren't in a stagnant state of the kingdom. It's not that Jesus was resurrected and then we're sitting here in pause mode until Jesus returns. We aren't just to sit around and wait for Jesus to return. And I will even say that we're not just trying to get other people to sit around and wait for Jesus to return. We are to be doing the work of Jesus here while we wait. So, what does this mean for you all? I have to emphasize that the establishment and the expansion of God's kingdom is not a political, not a political power activity. It's almost the opposite. So when we think about the things that are wrong with the world and what ought we to do about them, it is the role of the church to work toward the restoration of those corruptions of the world. So if your heart is burdened for those with less opportunity than yourself, great. That is a burden that you should have. How can you expand the kingdom of God in that area? How can you bring about through God, or by God's Spirit, bring about restoration there? I don't know, perhaps tutoring, right? Can you watch someone's children after school? Can you do these things in Jesus' name that presents what the kingdom of God is like, what the restoration of the world to its right state is? Praying with people, reading scripture with people, visiting people in prison, giving of your time and your finances to that which your heart is burdened. Are we passionate? Are you passionate about loving the unborn? A wonderful, magnificent thing to be passionate about. Can we adopt? Can we volunteer our time at Family Promise, which is a very practical, real thing of helping single mothers without a home? Can we open our homes to teenage mothers whose families have tossed them out? Can we take courses on biblical counseling so that we can intimately know these people who are going through a very challenging and difficult situation in life, and the only hope they see is to bring about the end of a pregnancy, so that we know how to bring hope to them in a different way through the kingdom of God? Now, don't get me wrong. It's not that politics and involvement in politics is wrong. No, it's great, but seek first the kingdom of God, the expansion of God's kingdom by the church. There are many different ways that each of us would be called to expand God's kingdom. Romans 12, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. So the passions and the things that burden your heart are going to be different than the passions and the things that burden other people's hearts in the church. The ways that you live out those passions to help restore the world are going to be different than the ways that others in the church do. And we aren't to go and say, hey, that person over there, teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he's not following us. That's not our role. Jesus says, do not stop him, for one who does a mighty work in my name will not be able to soon afterward speak evil of me. The one who is not against us is for us. And know this, when Jesus works through us to expand his kingdom in breadth and in depth, it is not in vain. Paul writes to the Corinthians about the resurrection of ourselves, of humanity, that we really will be resurrected, bodily resurrected, into this world, in a renewed world. We will be resurrected. And his conclusion, his message, ultimately is 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. When Jesus was resurrected, his hands and his feet still had the marks of his sacrifice on the cross. The activity that we do today, tomorrow, this week, that is done in faith, in hope, in love, these things will endure. In some way, in some sense, when Jesus returns and the world is renewed, they will endure. It is not in vain that you go and you love your neighbor. It is not in vain that you go and plant a beautiful garden. It is not in vain that you go to work and you make things that bring blessing to other people. These things are good. These things will endure in some way and sense and form for all of eternity in the kingdom of God. God will complete his work of restoration. He will complete it. Jesus will ultimately return to finalize that kingdom. The whole lump, the whole cosmos will be leavened. And until he returns, he continues working to expand his kingdom through you working to expand his kingdom. So I ask you again, what in the world are you doing? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is incredibly humbling to know that your plan to bring about the restoration of your world involves us in any way. And we know that it is for sure not because of who we are that you bring us into your plan, but it is purely for your own means and your own glory. So, Father, we pray that as we go out of here today, as we look at how we're interacting with our wives, with our husbands, as we contemplate what we're doing with work, with our neighbors, Father, we pray that by your Spirit, you will open our eyes to see what work would Jesus be doing here? And help us to do it. We pray that Jesus would come quickly, that your kingdom would be restored fully, and that we would be able to live as your people and you as our God. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.